and I hope you will all stay with me through this. I just have felt this for several weeks, and we were reading the Bible yesterday. My wife and I, we were reading through the scriptures, and we got to talking about this, and it brought back my memory that I had thought about this several weeks before. So I want to just talk about some heavenly contrast tonight. Heavenly contrasts. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness. Everybody said darkness.
Darkness.
Called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Everybody said light. So we have darkness and we have light. What a contrast. What a contrast. Opposites. Those things are opposite of each other. And I want to talk about some heavenly contrasts here tonight. And I pray that we'll all pay attention and listen and let this message stir our hearts, because what I'm about to deliver here tonight is absolute truth. And we're going to be faced with truth in our life and whether or not we follow the Word of God. Lord, we thank you tonight for truth. We thank you, Lord, for these that are here. I pray your hand upon us. Pray you'll stir our hearts and help us to be ready when you come. We pray in Jesus' name tonight. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank God, thank God, thank God. You can be seated tonight. Now, I hope it's all right if I just talk to us here tonight a little bit. Because there's something about just getting into the Word of God that really does something to you for the long term. I've noticed over the years that people who successfully live for the Lord are people that have an understanding of what they're doing and why they're doing it. There has to be understanding. Somebody said understanding. There's a parable that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 13, and it's the parable of the different grounds, the different soils. There was the wayside ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. And I hope and I pray tonight that each and every one of us are desiring and striving to be the good ground. I want to be good ground. Every other type of ground did not make it. They did not succeed in their efforts, in their the start of their walk with God ended before the whole thing ended. But I don't want that to happen to us tonight, and I don't want it to happen to me. Amen. And he said in verse 23, Matthew 13 and 23, he talks about the good ground, and he says, he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word. And so we've got to hear the word. But there's something about every type of ground. Each and every one of them heard the word as well. So it's important that we hear the word. We can't believe unless we hear. Amen. And so we have to be under the sound of preaching. It is he that heareth the word. But it's more than just hearing the word, he said, and understandeth it. And so there has to be an understanding of the word of God. It can't just be coming to church and parking yourself on a pew.
Right. That's right.
Praise the Lord. It can't be just enough to go through the motions and just go through the program and all of that. There has to be an understanding. And when there is an understanding, this one bear fruit and brought forth. So there is a bearing and a bringing, Amen. Some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30, and some have more and some have less, but every one of them that hears and understands is going to begin to bear fruit. And it's the will of God that we bear fruit unto the Lord. Amen. It's the will of God that you bear fruit unto God. Amen. It's the will of God that we bear the fruit of prayer. Amen. That we bear the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. Amen. It's the will of God that we produce these things in our lives. And that is not based on circumstantial things, but it's based upon an understanding. And I pray tonight that we all will have understanding. Praise God. If it's just something that you're doing because you like the church, it's not going to last very long. It's not going to last very long. There has to be an understanding. Amen. And there are those over the years that have said, well, I just don't understand. Well, I would just like to say tonight that there's no excuse for a lack of understanding. You can make excuses if you want to, but there is no excuse for a lack of understanding. And I'll prove it to you. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Turn there with me tonight. And the scripture says, if any, that means all of us here tonight, if any of you lack wisdom, let's just go ahead and substitute the word understanding in there because they're very, very closely related to each other. Amen. If any of you lack wisdom, is there anybody here tonight that lacks wisdom? Amen. I think we all probably do. We all lack a certain amount of understanding. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. That word liberally means bountifully, freely, and largely. Amen. Think about that. And upbraideth not. That means he does not reproach anyone for coming and asking for wisdom and understanding. He does not cast anybody aside, but he is freely giving, and not just giving little amounts, but largely. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. And the way to receive this understanding is by reading the Word of God. Not just reading the Word of God, but praying over the Scripture and asking the Lord to give you understanding. Amen. And I guarantee you tonight, God will give you understanding. Amen. I remember the first time I read that scripture, I got so thrilled and so excited. I began to ask God on a regular basis, God, give me wisdom and understanding. Help me to know what's really going on here. And it was amazing to me as a new convert, all the things that God began to put into my mind and my heart. And I began to understand things that others didn't understand. I'd only been in the church for just about 3 months, and I was working at Cessna Aircraft, and I was on break, and there was a man who was a Jehovah's Witness, and he began to try to convert me, and I just started quoting the scriptures that I knew. And he didn't know what to say, and finally he said, well, he said, when I've studied the Bible as long as you have, I'll be able to answer some of your questions. I said, well, I've only been reading the Bible about 3 months. He said, well, where did you get this understanding and wisdom? I said, I got it from the Holy Ghost. The Lord gave it to me. And I don't know where he's at today, but he responded to me and he said, well, it wasn't God that gave that to you. It was the devil. And I rebuked him in a certain way, and I said, friend, don't speak against the Holy Ghost because it cannot be forgiven. Amen. I remember that to this very day. Some despise wisdom and understanding. Understanding is going to be different than what you think it's supposed to be. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes we have our parameters, don't we? and we want the understanding to fit into our life. But understanding tonight is going to bring something, and I would call it perception. Amen. And so when you understand, when you have understanding of the Word of God, it's going to bring perception into your life. And that perception will bring confidence. Not only will it bring confidence, but it will establish the path of life for you. Amen. It will help you to know which way to go, what to do. Amen. And what have we got to gain and what do we have to lose? That's the perception that we need to see tonight. Amen. And this perception that I want to talk about tonight is the contrast, a heavenly contrast between the difference of heaven and hell. Amen. And I know that sounds very serious, but what we're involved in tonight is very serious. Praise God. And we have a lot to gain and we have a lot to lose. And I pray that when we're finished tonight that everybody here will make a sound, solid commitment to live for God and to work for Him all the days of your life. Anybody feel that way? Amen. I feel that way tonight. Now, when we look at Scripture here, when it concerns these two things, heaven and hell, let's start out here and just say that hell is a horrible place. The more you research it in the Scriptures, the more it makes you tremble, and the more it makes you fear. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen. We have to have knowledge and understanding. And the contrast of hell, of course, is heaven, and it is a glorious place. It is a place that we can't comprehend its beauty and its splendor and everything about it. Amen. And the contrast between the two need to be heard, and they need to be understood. Amen. Because if we're going to be good ground, we've got to realize that the thorns are going to come. And they're going to entangle your life. Amen. And you've got to be ready for that and respond to it. Amen. The persecutions and offenses are going to come. There will be those that will rub you the wrong way. Amen. And it is a part of living for God. It is a part of life. But you don't have to stay as a stony ground and be offended by everything that comes along. Right. Well, somebody said amen tonight, amen. Because you're going to be offended by something. Amen. The church is not a perfect place. Amen. And it's not where dreams come true all the time. Amen. Some dreams are nightmares. Amen. Well, smile just a little bit. Praise God. But we're not going to let a nightmare, we're not going to let a problem come along and take us away from being good ground. I want to hear the Word and I want to understand the Word. Amen. And so I pray tonight that each of us want to go to heaven more than anything else in all of this world. How many wants to really go to heaven? I mean, you've got your mind made up. You're going to go to that place. Amen. So let's look at a few scriptures. I want you to get ready to turn to some scriptures, or if you're not fast enough, to write them down. But hell is described as a place of darkness. Jude chapter 1 and verse 13. Excuse me. And the scripture says that these people that Jude is writing about, they are raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The blackness of darkness forever. And so on one hand, we see that hell is a real place. And if it wasn't descriptive enough to say darkness, the Bible says, blackness of darkness. In other words, you will not be able to see anything in certain places of hell. And I'm going to show you that there are different places in hell. Amen. And there's nothing more fearful than being in utter darkness. Amen. The Bible says that they will, that there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I thought about that, and I began to think that maybe what it's talking about who was it that was stoned to death? Stephen was stoned to death. And the Bible said they gnashed on him with their teeth. I wonder tonight if in the blackness of darkness that there will be others that will come and begin to bite and gnash upon those that are there in hell. The scripture says that there will be gnashing of teeth in hell. Blackness of darkness, and this is not just for a season, but it is forever. Now think about this tonight when it comes time to come to the house of God. Think about this when it's time to pray. Think about it when it's time to get your Bible out and read the Word of God and study the Word of God. Amen. Amen. If you have understanding of what you're doing and why you're doing it, you're going to naturally be good ground. I want to be good ground. Amen. Amen. So there's a contrast to this place called hell, and it's found in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Well, praise God. There's not going to be any light switches in heaven. There's not going to be any fancy chandeliers. But there will be the crystal clear gold that the entire city is made of. And there will be a light that will fill every crevice and every place. I don't believe there'll be any shadows in heaven, but it will just be the purest of light that you've ever seen. And we will walk in the light. Amen. We will walk in the light of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. When you look at the contrast between the two, amen, it will eliminate the desire to play church. Amen. It will eliminate the opportunity to live in an ungodly way. Amen. It is going to be for the righteous, for those who have decided and made it through great tribulation and wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Praise God. So hell is described as a place of darkness, and heaven is a place of light. And so when we look at it a little bit further, we can see that hell will have days and nights. I want to show it to you. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Since we're already there, just go back a chapter. Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented when? Day and night, forever and ever. And so if you go to hell, there's probably going to be some clocks in hell. They'll probably, you know, have you ever been in the hospital? Anybody ever been in the hospital? They used to not put clocks on the wall. Now they put clocks on the wall. If it's not bad enough to be in hospital, they're going to torment you with a clock on the wall. And the minutes tick by, and it seems like an eternity. You know, is this day ever going to end? And then, you know, you're just cognizant of time. And it can drive you crazy at times. Amen. But in hell, there is going to be day and night. And so when the night comes, you know what it is like here in this world. When the night comes, the coyotes come out. And we can hear the coyotes out at our house, yipping and a yapping and chasing after something. In the night, I come home one night, and it was dark out, and off over in a direction where the woods and the river was, I heard this horrible scream. It almost sounded like a Bigfoot or something like that. You know, some big gigantic monster out there that was wanting to come and devour me. Amen. Because I couldn't see. I've had people that were big and husky and strong come to the church at nighttime to pray. And that big husky man, when he come to the church to pray, he got scared because of the darkness. Oh, amen. But we're afraid of the darkness, and darkness brings fear. Amen. Only for it to come into the daytime and for you to see the horrors of the place called hell. But in the contrast of this place of day and night, heaven is going to be a place of endless day. Praise God. Revelation 22. Go with me there. Go forward a couple chapters. Revelation 22 and verse 5, "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Praise God. Somebody ought to say praise God. That's why we come to church right there. That's why we live for God right there. That's why we get excited and sit on the front row, why we have youth service. Amen. That's why we do the things that we do. If you're lacking in understanding, get your Bible out and look at the Word of God and understand tonight that there's a reason that we do what we do. There's a purpose and a plan behind what we do. Amen. And it's simply... And there are other aspects of living for God. This is not the only one. But I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And it drove me to an altar at 19 years old. And I prayed for several weeks until God filled me with the Holy Ghost. Because I didn't want to be lost for all of eternity. Amen. I was stirred in my heart. And I hope tonight that we will be stirred in our hearts for the rest of our lives. Amen. That what we do, we need to do as unto the Lord. Amen. And live for God. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Now think about this. When you go to hell, or if you find yourself in this place called hell, the Bible says you're going to have a physical body. Now think about this. Luke chapter 16 and verse 23 and verse 24. Luke 16 and 23 and 24. This is talking about the rich man and Lazarus. And it talks about the rich man who did not make it to heaven. Lazarus, the poor beggar, he made it to heaven. So you know, when it comes down to it, there's really... no measurement here in this life that we can say God loves me because I have money and I have all these things. Scripture says that they believe that gain is godliness, from such turn away. Your gain is not a measure of your godliness. God wants to bless us. Somebody said amen. He wants to bless us, but he doesn't want to curse us with our blessings. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, and so there is the ability to see in hell. Being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue." And so he had a tongue, he had vocal cords, he had lungs, and he was able to speak. He was able to feel thirst. Amen. All the things that we feel and we experience in this human body, all of the negative things that you can imagine in this life are going to go with you to hell. What a place of torment. What a place to avoid and to escape. But the scripture tells us that when we go to heaven, we're going to have a spiritual body. Praise God. Luke chapter 20 and verse 36. He's talking about what happens to the children of the resurrection. And he said, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now, another scripture that brings it a little bit more clearly or adds to it is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 53. And I'll give you a moment to get there. 1 Corinthians 15 and 53. And the scripture says, for this corruptible, everybody said corruptible. 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 That's what's in the scripture. Amen. We live in a body of corruption.
Right.
Amen. Don't look at somebody that has cancer as it being a curse from God or the work of the devil. Amen. We are in a body of corruption, which is like rust. Amen. Amen. They came out with a car that was all plastic, and I don't know about all that, but I don't think I want a car that's made out of plastic, but it'll never rust. But a regular car is going to rust. Every now and then I see a big semi going down the highway with all these cars that have been flattened out and they're stacked up on top of each other. And it makes me think of life, and that's what life is really a lot like. You know, there was a day when that car was on the showroom floor. Amen. There was a day when it had 0 miles on it and somebody signed the papers and excitedly drove it off the lot and showed all their friends and went out and polished it and took care of it and changed the oil and all that. And now it's flattened out on a semi-truck worth a few $100s. Amen. That's really an example of corruption. Amen. And the longer we live in this life, the more we're going to experience corruption. But corruption is not just in the physical sense, it's also in the spiritual sense. And I didn't get the scripture, but I probably should have. You can look it up for yourself, where Paul talked about himself as a wretched man. Amen. It really makes a difference what you see when you look in the mirror. If you really like what you see when you look in the mirror, maybe you need to look into the Word of God, the real mirror. That'll show us where we really are. Amen. But the corruption, Paul said, the things that I would do, I don't do. And the things that I wouldn't do, that's what I find myself doing. Now, you don't have to say amen tonight, but I know that that affects every person in this place here. It doesn't matter how much you speak in tongues. It doesn't matter how many hours a day that you pray. Amen. You're going to pray and pray through and pray through. But somewhere deep down inside, there's going to be that thing that rises back up again. And it's going to try to take over. Amen. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the church. That's why we need preaching. Come on, somebody. That's why we need these things in our lives. Amen. To help us to see ourselves as we really are. Amen. And so he said this corruptible must put on incorruption. And he says this mortal shall put on immortality. Praise God. You know, when we get to heaven, we're not going to have to deal with lust. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have to deal with pride. When we get to heaven, we're not going to remember the negative things that took place in this life. Amen. We are going to have a spiritual body. That's why I want to go to heaven. Praise God. Now, we understand that the inhabitants of hell, we've already read it, are going to suffer from thirst. They're going to suffer from pain and weakness for eternity. And eternity means there's not going to be any relief, no break from the torment. As Scripture says, the worms will cover you and the flames will devour us over and over again. No relief from the torment. It will last forever. Tears will be there, the gnashing of teeth. All of the horrors that you could ever imagine are going to be there and are there tonight in that place called hell. Amen. But the contrast to this is heaven and Revelation 21. I'm drawing on Revelation a little bit here tonight. Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Praise God. What a contrast. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Praise God. How many wants to go to heaven?
Amen.
I want to go to heaven. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. That's where we need to have understanding tonight, folks. Because the understanding of what we're talking about here tonight will give you perception. And perception will guide the path of your life and help you to stay on the straight and narrow way. Amen. Scripture tells us, if that's not enough, it tells us that hell will have chambers. And there these chambers will be accessed by gates. Amen. Now think about it. This is what the Scripture says tonight. Proverbs 7 and verse 27. Turn with me tonight. Proverbs, that's Old Testament. Proverbs 7 and verse 27, talking about the strange woman, the woman that has brought down many men in her immorality. Proverbs 7 and verse 27, her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Psalm chapter 107, verses 17 and 18. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Amen. Notice there are many gates, and I'll read that scripture here in just a moment. But it talks about straight is the gate, narrow is the way. Few are going to go in there. Straight is the gate. Amen. But the gates, plural, are many, and they will lead to destruction. Young man, keep yourself holy and chaste before God.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this here tonight. I know the Lord put this in my heart. Amen. And if you go into the wrong house, the wrong house and the wrong person can actually be a gate, a portal where you step through on your direction to hell itself. But it's not worth it. Amen. A moment of pleasure, a moment of thrill is not worth an eternity without God. It's not worth it. Amen. It's not worth it. And heaven is also a place of chambers, but it's described in a different way. John 14 and verse 2. John 14 and verse 2. We'll be finishing here in just a moment, and I want us to consider coming to the altar tonight and praying and asking God to touch your mind and your heart. John 14 and verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. And I looked up that word mansions right before service, and it means a residence. Amen. It means a house. It means a place. It's a chamber. It's a room or several rooms. Hell has chambers of death, places of torment. Amen. But heaven has a place that the Bible calls a mansion. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, praise God. And we know that Jesus is preparing a mansion for those who have understanding and perception. Amen. I'm going back to that over and over here tonight, because without understanding and without perception, we will not make it. And there's only one other place that we can go if we don't make it to heaven. And you know where that's at. Amen. But hell is kind of like America in one way, where we have a migration problem. There's a crisis on the border right now. 250,000 people a month are crossing over into our country illegally, and they are just released to come in and do whatever they want to do. If it keeps it up, all of the population of the earth will be here in America. Amen. And there won't be any room. There's not enough room in hell tonight. And the Lord has instructed a construction crew to begin to build new borders and to expand hell. Amen. And it's under construction even as we speak tonight. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. There's that understanding again. And their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Oh God, help us here tonight. We're looking at it at truth. Do you understand what we're talking about here tonight? Or is it to you just another church service? Just another message? Amen. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. Few that find it. Amen. Because enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Amen. Why? It's because many don't have understanding. They hear the word of God. They've heard the word of God at some point in their life, but they have rejected the word of God and don't want to have anything to do with it. I want to just say tonight, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to end up in this place called hell. Amen. Can I just say some things here tonight? Well, praise the Lord. I guess I'll just say it anyway. Amen. It's not worth the tithes that you refuse to give to God. It's not worth it. Amen. Add it all up for your whole life, and what you will purchase with your tithes and your offering will be a chamber of death in hell for eternity. Amen. Think about it tonight. It's not worth stealing from God. Amen. It's not worth the purchase of a chamber of death. Amen. It's not worth the lie that you told today. It's not worth stealing. It's not worth cheating. It's not worth any of these temporary, momentary thrills or excitements. It's not worth it. Amen. It's not worth unforgiveness and bitterness. Amen. I wonder if there will be signs over the doors of these chambers in hell And one of the signs will say, the area of unforgiveness. And everyone that could not forgive, go in that particular place. Amen. Bitterness. The chambers of bitterness probably would extend for miles and miles and miles of people that were bitter and angry and upset about the things that happened to them in life. I want to tell you tonight, it's not worth it. Just get it right with God. Find a place to pray. Amen. Bitterness is not worth sacrificing heaven over. Amen. Missing church. Praise God. I'm not pastoring here tonight, but I guess I am in a way. Amen. It's important to be in the house of God. What's more important than coming to worship God? What's more important than hearing the good word of God and gaining a little more understanding? Praise God. It's like college or high school or middle school. They don't dump everything onto you in one day. You get a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, a little bit the next day, and before you know it, you're walking across the stage as a graduate. Praise the Lord. We're not going to get everything just with one service a week. I know that's the way of the world, but we're not going the way of the world. Amen. We need to be in the house of God faithfully. Amen. Praise God. And so that's a description of hell. But heaven, on the other hand, is so glorious and magnificent that the Bible says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Do you love Him?
Amen.
Do you love Him tonight? I love Him tonight. We're so privileged to be here. Amen. And here's my closing contrast before we come to the altar for a season of prayer. If you were offered a home that had 15,000 square feet, a very nice, very beautiful home, tax-free, and you asked them, how much do you want for that house? And they said, 50 cents. Would you even give it a moment's notice or a moment's thought? Well, let's see. Would you take 45 cents? Well, sorry, you just missed it. Somebody else bought it. No, no. It would be very much worth it. It would be the deal of a lifetime. It would be the opportunity of a lifetime. Now, what if somebody came along and said, I've got this rundown shack. It's 200 square feet, which is about 10 feet wide and 20 feet long. Hardly as big as a bedroom. But I've got this little shack, and I'm asking $1.5 million for it, which is probably more than you'll ever make in your life. So I want you to give your whole life for this little shack. Amen. That's the contrast that I'm talking about tonight. The answer is obvious. You say, well, it's going to cost me everything to live for God. Let me tell you, everything that you've got to live for God is worth about 50 cents. Well, praise God. And you're getting in return a mansion that Jesus talked about that he's been working on for 2,000 years. A glorious, beautiful place that we're going to spend eternity in. Amen. Some are going to choose the little shack because in that shack there are pleasures and there are things that the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, amen. I'm telling you, they're going to choose it. Many, many are going to choose that way, which seems totally crazy, but I'll take my 15,000 square foot mansion. I was in prayer here the other day, and I don't claim to be super spiritual, and I don't want it to come across that way. But it's something that just came to me, and it wasn't a vision or anything of that sort, I don't believe. But I was praying and talking to the Lord about heaven. And all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, I got a picture, a little picture. And I mentioned it to a couple of folks here, but I'll mention it to all of us here tonight. And I was down in Houston a number of years ago to that big mall there in Houston. How many's ever been there? Big mall. It's like an X, and it's big. I mean, I think it's 3 stories tall, both directions, goes this way and goes this way. Big, giant archways, huge, huge place. Well, the thing that I saw in my mind's eye was something that resembled that, only the archways were so high that it was almost as if they were in the clouds. It was kind of hazy at the top, but at the same time, it was very shiny. And I looked down, and it was very wide. It was very wide. There were many people walking to and fro, going here and there. This is what I saw in my mind. And there were spires. There were pillars. There was all kinds of things. There were rooms off to both sides. And it was all gold. Everything was gold, and it was so very, very shiny. Amen. I think when we get to heaven and we see the Lord and we are able to walk on streets of pure gold, we're going to say it was worth everything that we ever had to go through in this life. And I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. I want to go to heaven. But if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to have some understanding. And you've got to let that understanding give you a perception of why you're here, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Isn't God good to us?
Amen.
We came to this place with nothing but sin to offer Him. Nothing but ashes. Nothing but mourning and weeping. And He went to Calvary, paid the price, and said, I want you to be my bride. I want you to come out of that place of sin and death, and I want you to live with me for eternity. In fact, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's a place that's got your name on it. He's preparing it for you. Amen. But in order to get there, you've got to have some understanding and perception of what you're doing. Listen, you can't steal from God and go to heaven. Well, praise the Lord. You can't steal from God and go to heaven. You're on your way to a chamber, an area of hell that says thieves, and you'll be there for all of eternity, day and night, tormented. Was it worth that extra that I didn't give to God? You'll say it a million times, a billion, a trillion times. It was not worth it. It was not worth it. Praise God. But the beauty of it is when we serve God, we don't lose. Let me just say this tonight. You're not going to lose a dime by giving your tithes and your offerings to God. You're not going to lose a dime. But I have come to understand that God opens the windows of heaven. I remember preaching a pastoral installation service in Freeport, Illinois, many, many years ago, and the brother of the pastor, of the new pastor, was in business for himself, and as he was going through his business, it started to decline, and it was about to go under. And he went to God in prayer, and he said, God, I'm not just going to tithe. Now, this is not, it's not required in Scripture, but this is what he decided to do. He said, I'm going to pay tithes of my gross income of my business. And he said God began to bless his business, and it was so awesome. He was giving $100,000 a year in tithes. How many would love to give $100,000 a year in tithes? I didn't say give $100,000 to the church. I said give $100,000 in tithes. I'd love to pay $1 million in taxes. What are you looking at me like that for? That means you're going to make about $10 million. See, it's all how you understand. It's how you perceive tonight. It's how you look at it. Praise God. And he said they were putting in a gas station, gas stations all up and down California, the coastline. And they came across a problem on one of the construction jobs, and they dug a trench. The building inspector came by and said, that trench is 6 inches too high. You've got to dig it 6 inches deeper. But the problem was it was solid rock. They'd gotten down as far as they could go. 6 inches more they had to go. And they said, well, what are we going to do? And he said, we're not going to do anything. We're going back to the hotel room and we're going to pray and we're going to go to bed and we're going to work on it tomorrow. But we're going to pray about this. And God is my witness. He told me, he said the very next day they went out and the trench had shrunk, had sunk 6 inches down, and they didn't have to do anything else. Amen. Listen, you can't outgive God. You can't fool God. Well, praise the Lord. You might fool everybody in the church, but you're not going to fool God. You can't go to heaven and be a thief. And when you steal from God, that's the worst kind of thievery that you could be involved in. Well, praise the Lord. I'm in a good mood tonight. I'm not upset. Praise the Lord. I'm just preaching the Word of God. And for those that understand, we will bring our tithes and our offering cheerfully. We will come through the gates into the kingdom of God, the church, with thanksgiving, with lifted hands. Praise God and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Well, praise God. I'm glad to be here tonight. I don't deserve any of the blessings, but I'm thankful.